And now, the rest of the story. Sam never should have joined that land bank board of directors. It had seemed an attractive prospect initially, especially because his father before him had been a board member, but now the bank was belly up, the government had forced it out of existence, and the board of directors was left holding the bag. The individual board members were personally, financially responsible for the bank's enormous liabilities, and for businessman Sam, those crushing debts could not have been incurred at a worse time. When his father died, Sam had taken over the family company, a brewery distillery. He had determined that the operation must expand if it were to survive. Instead of expansion, the move burdened Sam's business. Now the land bank had been forced into extinction, and suddenly Sam owed more money than he could hope to pay. He tried gallantly to wrench himself from debt, but his reimbursements were sporadic and slow in coming. After a while, the government moved in again, launching a series of lawsuits against him. And for most of a decade, they say, Sam was in and out of court, struggling for his financial life. The drain on his resources, monetary and emotional, was steady and debilitating. And at one point, Sam, well, he just gave up. And the man he became is the rest of the story. For you see, Sam blamed the government for what ailed him. And with good cause, it was the government that had wiped out the land bank and thrown Sam into debt. It was the government that had harassed Sam in court until he was virtually penniless. It was the government that had stacked the deck against him. The government was his enemy, and now Sam vowed to retaliate against the government in whatever way he could. And that is the story of how a mild-mannered businessman became a terrorist. He began hanging out on the docks and in unsavory taverns, preaching the government's downfall. Those who disagreed with him sometimes got their homes burned or were roughed up by thugs whom Sam had chosen for the purpose. It said that Sam elevated rabble-rousing to an art form. He propagandized masterfully. He organized demonstrations, destructive demonstrations, sometimes violent ones. He unleashed his own private corps of vigilantes. Historians remind us that Sam was shouting for the violent overthrow of the government when there was hardly a whisper of discontent among the rest of the governed. And yet it was he who masterminded the Boston Tea Party. The Boston Tea Party? That's right. And it was he who promoted the insignificant Battle of Lexington as the shot heard round the world. And whom the British governor of Massachusetts referred to as the most dangerous man in America. The history books have tended to mitigate his mischief, recalling primarily that Samuel Adams was a great patriot, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, an eloquent defender of freedom, and a founding father of our nation. But now there will always be a picture in your mind of a struggling businessman losing case after case after case in a kangaroo court of the crown who finally got mad as hell and refused to take it anymore. Now you know the rest of the story.